This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
It's so wonderful to be here today. People say, you know, what is the Sue Free Show? What's it about? And I say, well, it's about seeking passion, purpose, and connection. Positive and negative things happen to us, and we have a choice whether to react or respond. Our decision will create our perspective in life and what we make of our life lessons. Wisdom comes from being honest to ourselves and others, listening to and applying the things that we and others have been through. Take a chance. Share your life experiences to help change or mold a person's life. Plant a seed. Dare to believe and make a difference. To live your life on purpose for a purpose. And that's truly what this show is about. And today we have somebody that's going to share his life experiences. And, you know, I love to surround myself with people that are positive, you know, because we have a choice, don't we, on whether we're going to say, oh, woe is me. Or we're going to say, you know what, I'm going to brush myself off. I'm going to get back on track. And sometimes we need a push. Sometimes we need to be picked up by a friend, and that's biblical. And sometimes, you know, we just want to surround ourselves with people that are going to feed and help us in our life. And today I have Marcos Acosta Rubio. I really was worried about it, whether I was going to say that right. Did I say that right, Marcos?
You said it beautifully. Thanks.
Thank you. We were talking before we got on live, and I said, I don't have the roll of the tongue that you have. And I guess I just never will because I've tried. Anyway, Marcos has a company, and usually I go into a bio. But instead today, I would like Marcos to just share kind of some of the things that he's been through to get him to where he is today. So, Marcos, I'm just going to let you take over.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And thanks, everybody, for listening and having a wonderful, fantastic time with Sue Free's show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it's interesting because what you said in your introduction was about the challenges that we face and whether we have a choice or not. And I look back at whatever little life we've had so far, and I think that it's every single decision you make, small or large, that leads us to where we end up being, whether in a good place or a bad place. Now, you know, I started my company called One Stop about 12 years ago, and I started that company after being fired. Yeah, which is not an uncommon
thing. So there's a door that closed.
Right, and another one opened.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was is that, you know, I worked for this company, and the gentleman who owned it lacked integrity.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to work around it and tried to do the best I could, and I couldn't do it. At the end of the day, I think my character was more important to me than having an income, if you know what I mean.
Which is a choice.
Which is a choice, exactly right. And so sure enough, he found that I was dissatisfied, and he fired me, which was the right thing to do. And then when I get home, my beautiful wife said, great. I said, what do you mean great? We just got fired. She said, no, you don't understand. It's great because now we can start our own company and do it the right way.
Ooh.
Isn't that good?
Words of wisdom from the wife.
Well, you know, usually women are smarter than men, and in this case, it's always true.
You know, I knew I liked you.
Well, now you know why, right? Because I know my place.
I think it's more than that.
I think my wife says, honey, you may be the head of the family, but I'm the neck. And wherever the neck turns, the head goes.
Right. And that's true. There's some truth to that.
So I said, okay, then. And so then we started One Stop on August 18th, 1998, the day after I got fired. And we started taking massive action right off the bat because I really believe that anything, any problem you have gets solved by massive action. I don't believe contemplating and thinking too much is going to solve the problem. And we did pretty well, and then we had a bunch of different hurdles, and, you know, we got sued by my former boss, my wife's father passed away, my two-year-old son had seizures, my mentor had passed away a few years previous. I mean, you name it, we had all these different obstacles. We had no idea how to run a business. In fact, we were so, you know, I guess backwards on how to run a company that we didn't call our accounts receivable for 12 months.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we thought, wait a minute. And our fear was, hey, look, if we call him and we ask him to pay us, they're going to get mad and they'll never order again.
My goodness.
Right, I mean, you know, you're young, we're 27 at the time, no, 28 at the time. Hey, my mom had lent me her life savings of $77,000 to use, and I put on a CD in a bank as collateral to run the company, and then 3 months later, 4 months later, she got into an argument with me, demanded her money back at the bank, and I remember sitting at my home when I started the company, and I got a call from my banker, which was at the time City National Bank, and they said, hey, Mark, so I've got this crazy lady here screaming and yelling that she wants her money back, the $77,000. I said, what's her name? And she says, Miriam, and her last name. And I said, don't know her. And I hung up the phone. Because if I'd given the money back, it would have put me out of business.
Sure. And you didn't call on your collection. So, no. you know, all that money was sitting there, but it wasn't usable, was it?
Exactly.
So you're saying that all this happened, you know, in 1 year you had all these things, or over a five-year period, or what? Because you said 1998.
Two-year period. From 1998 to 2000.
Okay.
And, you know, it was tough. And I got to tell you, so, I mean, it was probably, you know, the fact that I didn't know what I didn't know, the fact that I was ignorant, actually worked in my advantage. Because I believe that if I had known the obstacles placed on me at that time, I don't think I would have succeeded.
So ignorance is bliss in some cases.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think faith is a better word for it, right?
Right.
Because I don't think ignorance is necessarily bliss all the time.
No, I hear that, and
right.
I'm like, wow.
Right, but I do think, I mean, it was, I think I had faith. I think I had faith in a sort of, you know, in a childlike way, because I didn't know enough. You know, when a kid doesn't know something, he tries to succeed, and then someone says, hey, you can't do that. He says, well, I didn't know I couldn't do it, so he did it.
Correct.
I think that's where faith comes in. I also think that God, from my personal perspective, sends us messages, and, you know, and he'll hit us behind the head a little bit, and if we don't listen, you know, the hit gets harder, and if we still don't listen, then he starts to smack us harder, and I think he was sending messages that say, hey, do you really want to be what you say you want to be? If that's the case, there's a price to pay. And part of that price to pay is to overcome these obstacles. And if you can overcome these obstacles, then I know you're serious, and I'll give you the rewards you want.
So this is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA. And we're learning some life lessons right now from our good friend, Marx Acosta Rubio. I did say that right?
You said it. You know what? You said it actually perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's really good. I have known you, Marx, for how long? I can't remember when we first connected. I love that word, connect. When we first connected was in a business situation where we were in the same group.
Yes.
And we were there because we lacked knowledge and we needed to, I would say that. Would you say that?
Because
we were seeking relationship.
Yes.
And we were seeking more knowledge in order for us to go to the next step and the next step. And for lack of knowledge, people can perish. So it is important that we do get knowledge, and we need to know that we're going to the right place to get it, which, number one, the Bible and Scripture is a wonderful
yes.
wealth of knowledge and guidelines for life. It is the guidebook for me. How about you?
I would agree with you. In fact, I think, you know, I've read over 3,000 books now.
Ooh.
Thank you. And I would tell you the Bible is probably the most of all the amazing books that exist. Even if you don't understand it, just picking up a scripture, reading something about it will help you better yourself through life. In fact, I love what you said about wisdom. Matthew 11:19 says, but wisdom is shown to be right by what results from it. And to me, that means that we can say we're wise, we can say we're knowledgeable, but at the end of the day, it's the results that come by our belief or in our actions that show whether we were wise or not. And so this group that you and I joined, which is 1993, by the way. So
it was?
Now. Yeah, 1993.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Time flies.
It is life. And I got to tell you, though, I got value from it, but it wasn't the right thing for me because it was missing, and I'm saying this with loving kindness, I think true principles.
Uh-huh.
I think people's opinions are wonderful, but if you don't have the principles that I think are biblically based, from my perspective, then you're sort of wondering, as a wonder generality, figuring out how things are going to work. If
mm-hmm.
you read the Bible, you understand the principles, and you apply the principles, then I think you'll achieve anything you want. Not just success, but also happiness, fulfillment, spirituality, you name it.
So you mentioned numerous things that, you know, any one of those hurdles would have been enough for some people to just make them think, why should I get up in the morning and continue on? Right?
Yeah.
But you had multiple things over a two-year period, which I know there's people listening right now that can say, oh, yeah, I hear what he's saying, but what if you knew what I'm going through right now?
Right. Right.
And we all have our problems. We all have our issues. And the message isn't, woe is me, and it's not to minimize our situation. It's to say, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and that we have to put our belief and our faith in God. But we also have to do something ourselves, don't we?
I agree. You know, and I think your comment about a light at the end of the tunnel, the light is only at the end of the tunnel. It's not just at the end. It's only at the end. So if you don't get to the other end, there is no light. I mean, the hope only exists if you get to the other side. You know, it's interesting because we get a lot of people that ask us, you know, wow, you're successful, you're happy, you know, married 22 years, three kids, you have a wonderful life. Well, let me tell you something. Every single day I get on my knees and pray every single morning. I ask for, you know, I give gratitude, I ask for blessings, I ask for guidance. I have challenges just like you do. We're human beings. We're not perfect, right? Only Jesus was perfect.
Right.
Even Mother Teresa, in her memoir, even wrote to a cardinal one time that she doubted her faith and whether even God existed at one point or another. This is Mother Teresa, our, you know, a saint, right? Everybody, every person has to go through doubts. Even Jesus, right, going up the mountain was, you know, why me? Should I do this? Is this okay? Can't you pick somebody else? I mean, everybody has to go through these challenges. I really believe that it's the challenges that make us who we are and test our faith.
I agree.
Right? And so
I agree.
If you don't have challenges, then you know what? You're probably dead.
Well, I always say that you can't really appreciate the ups if you don't have the downs.
That's exactly right.
Right?
That's exactly right. And you know, and it's funny because looking back now, and by the way, we still have current challenges, but looking back at the challenges we've overcome, those are some of my funnest times.
I that's so funny because I think about a camping trip we had where everything went wrong.
Yeah.
And when we look back on that as a family, we all giggle about the situation because the motorhome broke down. My husband had to get under it, and I was spraying him with off, you know, to keep the ants off of him while he's fixing the motorhome. And it was like 100 degrees, and I had two babies that were crying inside the motorhome, and I'm trying to keep the ants off my husband and trying to keep my kids, you know. And we look back now, and we just laugh because it's like that was a really – memorable time that was, you know, I don't know, it just, those things create a bond.
Yeah.
And memories, and we create memories, and it's usually those things that are the toughest that cause us to be closer together and pull together.
Hey, look, it does two things. Number one, it sort of grounds you to being human because you get to feel these emotions. Number two is it builds your self-esteem, your self-efficacy, right, and your self-image because you can say to yourself, wow, I did it. Now, you did it with God, obviously, but you did it. I mean, you took the action, you followed the plan, and you surpassed it. You didn't succumb to the pain. You did a great job. Look, it's a story of Job, right?
Right.
Right? It's like, you know, God and Satan, right? If I was to ad-lib, right? God and Satan are sitting here, you know, and Satan says, you know, you and your friend, special friend Job, you know, if you took the wall down around you have over him, I can get to him. God says, I don't think so. And then Job says, what do you want to bet? And God said, huh, interesting, right? So they did a wager, whatever that was, and sure enough, God took the wall down, and the devil did one of his all-time famous numbers, right? Took away his health, his wealth, his children, everything. And there was Job scraping his sores with a rock, right? And his wife, who he left him with, which is kind of interesting, leaves him with his wife, and his wife walks up to him and says, why don't you just curse your friend God and die? And he says, never. I'll never curse my friend God. It's not going to happen. And, of course, then God rewards him with twice the amount of everything, plus wisdom and all these amazing things. And, you know, the devil loses the bet, and God collects whatever the bet was, right? Interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's these kind of examples and principles and stories that exist in the good book that help us go, oh, I get it. You know what? The message is don't ever give up and never lose faith, right?
Never lose faith. Sometimes we grow weary.
Oh, every day in some cases, right?
Right.
But, you know,
but we never know what we're really made of.
Right.
You know, the obstacles that I face in my business, I feel like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, my gosh, God, you tell me you won't give me more than I can handle. But today it sure feels like it. It feels like you're giving me more than I can handle today, God. So please don't give me any more, please.
Right.
And then, you know, things happen. And then those same things will happen again, and they don't have the same impact as they had the first time around. For instance, if you have an employee that you think is invincible or that you can't do without,
right,
and you get through that.
Yep.
And then the next time somebody comes and says, you know, I'm going to leave, you're going, okay, there's the door.
Yep.
Because you're thinking, you know what, it's okay, because we're, you know, that door closes, a window opens, and something better comes along. So it's like, it's amazing how you don't realize what you can endure until you face these adversities. And Your son, I'm concerned about the son. You said that your son was 2 years old and was having seizures, yep, along with everything else you were going through.
Yep.
So how's your son?
He's fantastic. He's now 13, you know, goes to a Christian school. He's perfect. He's fine. In fact, the interesting component of it was they didn't know what was causing it. They were telling us he wasn't having seizures, but every 15 minutes he was having a seizure, which is like, how do you deny that, right?
Finally
went to UCLA to put him on these electrodes. I mean, it was tough. And I got to tell you, I'm in sales, and so at the time I'd go to UCLA, hang out with my beautiful wife and son. He's in his electrodes like a little monkey being a test subject. And I'd have to come back first thing in the morning, be positive, be enthusiastic, focus on bringing my skill, not my need, to the marketplace, being as positive as I possibly can, because being negative, being down, asking why God, all these things wasn't going to help, right? And I needed to make sure that we could pay the bills. And then slowly but surely, they put him on different medications. One day I got sick with the flu. We took him off the medications, and lo and behold, he stopped having them.
Huh.
Yeah. And they said that his cerebral motor cortex was not advancing as fast as the rest of his brain, because he's a little bit more advanced than most, intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just caught up, and that was it.
So we're going to give a shameless commercial to your business that you're in right now.
Yes.
And the business you're in is what?
Well, One Stop sells office supplies and computer supplies, but what we're really known for is managed print services, which is basically companies and organizations ask us to go in, put all their devices, printer, faxes, and copiers on a cost per copy, and then we handle the rest. So all they do worry about is printing rather than maintaining those devices. That's what we're best known for. That's how we made the Inc. 100 Fastest Growing Companies list in 2004. We were just ranked as the 23rd best company to work for in L.A. by the L.A. Business Journal.
And I saw that.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, that's wonderful.
Thank you. So, we have a lot of interesting accolades, but it's really because we focus on doing it better than anybody else.
Okay. This is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5. It's called the One Stop Shop.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to get that right. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
They can call the 800 number, which is 800-365-9545. And they can just ask for me directly, Marks, and say, hey, I heard from the Sue Free Show, and I'll take good care of them. Usually we deal with companies that are somewhere between, 50 employees or higher.
Uh-huh.
But if somebody has a small business and they want us to help them out and save them some costs, we'd be happy to do it.
So what you do, you make it easy.
We make it very easy. We make it easy, enjoyable, and quality-driven.
That's wonderful.
But so do you, right? I mean, doesn't every...
I try to take the hassle out of it for the consumer. I want to make sure if they have a termite problem or a pest control problem, I kind of equate, shopping for termite work like buying a mattress. And how often do we do that?
Right.
And I can remember when I did do it, Marks, it was like, oh my gosh, I felt like I had to get so educated and get so knowledgeable, because here's this mattress that I have for so many years that I'm sleeping on, and our sleep is so vitally important to the health and welfare of our bodies.
Yep.
And so you want to make sure that you get the right bed. Well, you can go to a shop and you can lay on a bed and you're not going to know what that's going to feel like, 4 hours later, just by laying on it for 2 seconds. Oh yeah, it feels good. Oh yeah, it feels good. And you've got all these choices, like how many springs per inch, and all of these things. Do you want a pillow? Do you want it soft? Do you want it firm? Do you want,
right.
I don't know what I want.
Right.
So when a customer calls me and wants termite work, what we do is we look to see what the problem is, and then we figure out the best solution based on their individual needs. And I think that's what sets us apart from everybody else. And it sounds like that's what you've done too.
Exactly what we do. In fact, as you're saying that, I think larger corporations don't have the platitude or the capacity to customize solutions for individuals and or companies. But the fact that we're still considered small business, you and I, under 50 million,
yes.
we have that capacity to do that. We have the capacity to find out, well, what truly is the best solution for the client,
right?
And how do we maximize their work and this relationship so that we both benefit?
So we have to become very good listeners.
Yeah, I think so. I think listening, and I think also having creative solutions. It's interesting because people nowadays use sports as an analogy for life. And I think it's wonderful because it happens in a microcosm, right? It happens right there within an hour or two. But I think a better metaphor for life is actually business, rather than a sport, because it's ongoing and you're faced with challenges and it's all about improvement. It's all about working on yourself. It's all about becoming more efficient, more effective. It's all about helping others around you, not necessarily thinking on yourself. I think it's a much better metaphor for how we should run our lives. My own personal opinion, obviously.
I agree.
So I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Okay.
Isn't it crazy? What would you say are the three principles that you believe attribute to your success? Only three.
Putting other people before myself.
Okay.
I think that's really important in personal and in business. I look to see what other people's needs are. I don't know. People say I care too much. I don't know if that's a positive or a negative.
Gosh,
you know what? That's the biggest one. If I had three, I haven't even thought about that.
I know. It's a good question, right?
Right. I like to understand or have in my mind what my goal is, and I like the goal to be a win-win. But that could be the same thing as putting others before myself. But I like to have win-wins. So when I'm discussing anything with anyone, I want to know, okay, what's the goal? What's the plan? And how are we both going to benefit from this situation?
And what do you think, in converse, are the just one of the greatest challenges you face daily?
Honesty.
In your respect or others coming to
others.
You? Isn't that interesting?
Honesty. I would say trust.
Right.
In any relationship is so vitally important to the health of that relationship in both personal and in business. You know, you can have a bookkeeper that you totally trust. Like you said, you know, you had someone working for your company made bad decisions.
Lost $1 million.
And $1 million was, did you say, was it embezzled?
He made
bad decisions.
Yeah, it was, in fact, I won't say who it was, but you happen to know one of the individuals that was involved, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, we won't talk
about that. We'll talk offline.
Okay.
they made poor decisions and it cost me $1 million, which is a lot of money. It's a ton of money.
That is a lot of money.
So interesting you picked that topic. Okay, so let me probe a little further because I want to sort of make a point here, if I may. So if you were to say, and I think you've already said it, but I want to get it straight from you one more time. What's the one character or attribute you look for in any relationship, you know, husband, friends, business, one word?
Trust. I mean, I just trust. Honesty.
Okay.
Or faith, belief, integrity.
Well,
I guess integrity.
A bunch of stuff.
I am, but they're all kind of, to me, they commingle each other. You know, they're all intertwined.
You know, I think they are, and I'll tell you, I would argue that there's one word, and you know, we can have a discussion.
Okay, tell me what's that one word?
Reliable.
Reliable.
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
So
say what you're going to do and do what you say you're going to do. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you know, reliable. You can count on me, and so. And then the thought of, you know, how is this person going to behave, or do I have to trust them, or are they being honest? If they are reliable, then what they say is exactly what they do. And when you need them to behave a certain way, you know they will. So give an example. Someone says, you know, and I get this all the time. I love to ask these questions. And someone says honesty or loyalty. I said, okay, great. So if your best friend is totally honest and he sleeps with your wife, God forbid, and he says, and you ask him, did you sleep with my wife? And he says,
yes
I did. Does
he was
that make
honest.
It okay?
No, it doesn't.
Of course not.
But he was honest.
Right.
Right.
And so we can create the scenarios
for
truth and honesty and all these words. But when you add reliability in there, then he can't say that he's a reliable guy if he does things that are not okay. Because you can count him to behave a certain way.
That is a very good point.
Right? You know, marriage is sacred. Therefore, he's reliable that he's going to honor that. Business is sacred. You know, kids, all these different components. Not just that, Sue, but listen, you and I have been in ups and downs in our lives.
Yes.
I mean, I've had my butt handed to me more than once. You know, I mean.
Can we say that on the air? I think we can.
Okay, I hope so. I was going to say tush. And you know, when I'm on top of the world and everything's going fantastic and we're getting all these kind of accolades and business is booming. Relatives and friends come out of the woodwork. People I didn't even know knew me, right?
Yeah, you're everybody's hero, yes.
Exactly, right? But, you know, but when life hands you some challenges and you get your tush handed to you, then there's just a few people left, right?
Yes, but, and those are the ones that really matter and really love you.
Exactly, that's reliability. Now, God's always with us. Jesus is always with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So
sometimes it doesn't feel like it, though.
No, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I've had my share of yelling at him.
That's okay too, isn't it?
You know, well, it absolutely is, right? Because that's the point is, listen, you know, the whole theory of you know, this evil entity or mean entity or punishable entity, that's not at all what I believe it is. And I don't think in the Bible it says that. I think it shows our consequences to our actions. But I think getting mad and yelling, as long as you're genuine and you're sincere and you're asking for, okay, God, what's going on? Am I not heading the right direction? Am I just supposed to suffer through this? Talk to me, you know, or, hey, this is not what I wanted, you know, all these different components, but he never leaves.
Yep. He's always there.
Yeah. You know,
and he never goes to sleep, and I love that.
No, he didn't, you know, he's with us all the time. And I think when we can imitate that, when we can be reliable to our clients and our spouses and our children and our friends, which, by the way, Sue, it isn't easy.
No.
by any stretch of the imagination, right? I mean, because if you say something, you better do it.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show and Mark's, boy, is he on a roll, on 99.5 KKLA.
What would happen if your computer network went down? It happens every day to businesses large and small. Imagine losing financial records, days of work, or even your entire client database. How damaging would that be? Imagine how different your life would be if you could find out about a computer disaster before it happened. With NSI's free network analysis, you'll get a technical specialist who will not only warn you about any possible threats or system issues, but you'll also get a full inventory of your systems along with a site performance evaluation. And at the conclusion of your analysis, we will sit down with you to explain exactly what we have discovered in terms that make sense. This valuable offer is available for a limited time to all business owners. Wouldn't you like to have peace of mind that your technology is stable and secure? Find out why hundreds of companies, like yours, choose NSI as their technology partner. Don't rely on luck. Let NSI help. To schedule your free analysis and see how NSI can help your business strengthen its technological base, call 866-671-0089, extension 204. That's 866-671-0089, extension 204. Call today and find out what it's like to have a true technology partner working for your business. Call 866-671-0089, extension 204.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Free Show.
Well, we're back again, and I have got Marks, and he's with One Stop Shop, and he'll get, at the end of this time, he's going to get how you can get a hold of him if you'd like to. Marks, I'm going to ask you a question regarding your employees.
Yes.
When you're looking for an employee, you know, we talked about reliability, so I'm sure that's a question you ask them. Are they reliable? But what's it like to work for you? You know, if I came to work, I mean, do you pray at all at work? Do you bring God into the workplace? I mean, that's always a struggle for me.
You know, it's interesting. The answer is yes. I mean, I pray every morning. I get on my knees and I pray, like I said earlier. And
that's at home, though, right?
No, that's here in the office.
Okay, so people, do you have a windowed office? Do they see you on your knees?
They know it every day. I mean, I make it very public, and I get on my knees, and, you know, my door is usually closed. But
okay.
They're praying, and they're welcome to do the same thing.
Right, and do you have a Bible on your desk? Or
I have a Bible that I carry with me.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, and the answer is, look, we have Jews, we have Muslims, here we have atheists, we have agnostics. Listen, you know, Jesus loves everybody, so I love everybody. I don't have an issue with what religion they are, as long as they're good human beings. That's between them and God.
Right.
But I do weave it throughout my conversations, when I talk to them, I give them stories from the Bible, and I said, believe whatever you want. They're still great stories. Look, let me give you sort of my take on the whole thing.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the more secular we get, the more problems we have. And I know a lot of atheists who are great human beings, and a lot of agnostics who are great human beings. But when we get away from this moral code of conduct that is taught to us through religion, we begin to make decisions that are based on pseudo-rationale and situational ethics. Oh, it's okay to do this because. Well, you know, I'm going to do that because. And then you start creating these behaviors that you don't know begin a downward spiral to a decay morally. Now, you know, moral, you know, being moral is sort of like, oh, well, let's not talk about morality because it's a religious term. Forget about that. You're not happy as a human being when you're doing something that's immoral. And you know it. I know it. We all know it. Mm-hmm. We have a compass inside our body that tells us that. In fact, I've done stupid things, and I've done great things. And I can tell you that when I've done dumb things, I'm not happy about it.
Right.
But I am human. So I bring that up, and what's it like working for me? Well, they know me pretty well. I tend to be very open book. I tend to talk.
No, really?
Yeah, exactly right. I talk a lot about my experiences. And I want my employees to relate to me. I want them to say, yeah, me too. Not so what.
Uh-huh.
If I talk about my success, they're going to go, yeah, so what? If I talk about my struggles, if I talk about the challenges, I mean, the other day, you know, my wife was making the staff breakfast. Every morning she was up at 4:30 in the morning, and she's making these wonderful breakfasts. And the idea was, I'll be in by 6. We start at 7. Anybody between 6 to 6:30 can come in and have breakfast on us just to get them in early, get them excited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's hard to see your wife get up early in the morning. And one day I started telling the guys, hey, guys, you know, you have no idea how difficult it is for me to watch my wife get up. And I started to cry. I just started to bawl, and I had to run out of the room because it was very touching for me. You don't see that happening today with most CEOs and presidents. And, you know, I get emails going, are you okay? Or dude, you know, yell at me, but don't do that again. That kind of stuff. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, am I, you know, perfect? Oh, God, no. Am I willing to pay the price and exchange my life for a moral cause? Absolutely. Do I want to be the guy that walks his talk as best as I can? Absolutely.
Yes, me too.
Right? And I want to do what my mentor said, your worst wort forward.
Say that again.
Your worst wort forward. You know, the ugly words you have an ugly word you put it. So it's a metaphor for if people see you and they see your flaws first and you're still pushing forward, they'll think, you know what, he's a genuine human being. If he can do it, so can I. It's when we paint this picture of deity or sovereignty or infallibility that we end up getting into trouble, because you'll get a pedestal and you will surely fall.
Right.
Quickly, too.
Yep.
And I know that you know people and I know people that we've seen that happen to.
So being in business and doing all you do, and, you know, you have a compass or a, as I do, high expectations for yourself.
Yes.
And so you push yourself to be the best you can be every minute of every day.
Yes.
And we fall short.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
But we still are striving for excellence.
Yes.
Why?
I think the purpose of human beings are to be all that we can be. And I know it's an army cliche, but I think it's really true. Let me give an example. Everything that God designed, he designed with a genetic code to do the best it can. It doesn't have a choice. According to the Sufri show, it's all about choice, right?
Right.
It doesn't have a choice. A tree grows as much as it possibly can. A dog lives as long as it possibly can, right? Everything, you know, a duck flies south for the winter. Everything by design doesn't have a choice, but it does the best it can. We as human beings are the only entity, the only living form that gets to choose.
We have a choice, that's right.
To be all or to be part. There is no in-between. Either you're everything you can be or not, right? There's no middle ground.
Right.
So, and I think that's the purpose of life. I think, and I think God wants us to be that way. I think God wants us to choose the greater aspect of it. The Bible's riddled, right, with wonderful stories and principles. It's got two sides of the ledger. One side is, do as these people did. Other side is, don't do as these people did. And it's our choice to choose one or the other. And so I think that's why. I think when people don't do the best they can, it ends up weighing on their conscience. I mean, look at society today. I mean, to be a little political, if we may, look at society today. We have people who feel entitled, who are unhappy because we have taken away the consequences to their choices.
Mm-hmm.
In the Great Depression, people lined up for jobs. We have 10 million Americans out of work, but we have 4.4 million job postings. Why aren't they filling those job postings? Interesting question.
It is.
Right? Empire State Building built in 18 months. We can't get Ground Zero built after 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go on and on. But anyway, that's your question.
But we have unemployment that's an all-time high. And
yeah.
I just placed an ad, and I had 100 resumes sent over my internet. I had asked 7 questions to be answered. Out of the 100 resumes that came over my desk, only 25 answered my questions.
Yep.
Which I thought was interesting, too. And it actually weeded things out for me a lot easier than I could have done on my own.
That's exactly right.
Right. You're right. You're so right. I am so glad we're on this show right now, because I'm just loving everything you're saying. And what you said about when you do wrong things, you know, even though we can say, oh, it's a white lie, or,
right,
you know, it's really not affecting me. I mean, it's not hurting anybody. So therefore, I say, you know, who you are when nobody's looking is who you really are.
Right.
And there's a song, a Christian song, that talks about slow fade. Things don't happen. They don't jump on us and make us bad or make us do wrong things. It usually happens a little at a time.
Yep.
So we have to guard, don't we, what we eat,
yep,
who we hang with.
Yep.
We have to guard what goes in, because garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
You said that you read how many books?
I've read 3,000 books. I read about a book a week. I speed read, and there's also...
I know. I was in that class when you first heard about that, and
there
I didn't take them up on that, and I wish I would have, because reading is just, you know, it's hard to find the time. This is a KKLA show, Sue Freeze, KKLA station, Sue Freeze show, and... I wish I would have taken that course, and I'm so glad you did. 3,000 books, I'm just amazed at that.
Yeah, it's the second course I've taken. You know, I love to read, I love to learn, so you know, I try to do as much as I can. I'm now reading John Paul The Great by Peggy Noonan. It's a small little somewhat biographical book, although really more explores her spirituality. And I just finished reading Laura Bush's book, Straight from the Heart, which is a great, great book. And
I've heard about that, Straight from the Heart.
Wonderful. I highly recommend it, by the way. I highly recommend it. You know, you talked on influence and standing guard at the door of your mind.
Yes.
It's so true. See, influence is very subtle because we won't get pushed off course, but we may get nudged off course.
Mm-hmm.
A guy puts his elbow in your back and just keeps nudging you. Before you know it, you're like, how did I end up over here?
Mm-hmm.
One of my mentors, a guy named Jim Rohn, gave me the greatest definition of success and failure that I ever heard. Success, he said, is a few simple disciplines practiced every day. Failure, he said, is a few errors in judgment repeated every day. And he says failure doesn't fall at the end of the day. You know, you don't get cancer after the first cigarette. It's an accumulation of cigarettes, an accumulation of bad habits that eventually end up in a place you don't want to end up. But success is conversely the same thing. It doesn't come overnight. But as you continue to do the disciplines every single day, as you tell your spouse you love them, you hug them, as you tell your kids, as you have discipline, or you tell your employees, as you demand excellence, whatever you do, if you do it consistently on a day-by-day basis, you will achieve success. It is inevitable. It's a principle in the Bible. It's sowing and reaping.
It's funny because I was going to ask you, the question I was going to ask you next was, what would be your definition of success? I pulled it up on Bible Gateway, and there are 43 scriptures that use the word success.
Interesting.
And it's funny because I read the Bible a lot, and in my mind I was thinking, I don't remember really seeing that word ever written in Scripture. And it was funny because 43 results.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That is pretty cool. And, you know, the definition of success, I'll tell you something I do, and it's a little trick, and, you know, I hope the listeners like it, is every morning, you know, after I pray, I sit down and I write my values, and then I write my principles. And it's the same values and it's the same principles. And what I mean by values are those things that I hold dear, and then principles are those things that I behave or use to behave in order to achieve the things I love. Example is, my number one value is family. Then there's health. Then there's achievement. Then there's growth. And then there's truth. Those are all the things that I hold dear.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, God first, but these are my sort of human principles or human values. Principles are honesty, discipline, clarity, control, goals, high standard, and integrity. So I have to always be honest. I have to always make sure that I'm disciplined. You know, you follow, always have clarity, always have control, always have these things. And I think success is understanding what values and principles are, particularly biblically, and sticking with them, irregardless, to use a, you know, popular word, irregardless of the consequences and how you may look. So, give an example is, we all get drawn up in how we look to our neighbor. Well, you know, I happen to drive a nice car. I drive a Mercedes S550, this S550. My neighbor has a Bentley. Do I really care that he has a Bentley? Of course I do. I'm a human being, right? Wow, he's got a better car than I do. But I shouldn't care about that. I should focus on things that are more important. Family, health, right? Achievement, freedom, growth, truth. As long as I keep chipping away at my imperfections, like a sculpture, chipping away at the unnecessary components of that piece of clay to then create that beautiful art, that's what I think success is for me, is chipping away at the imperfections,
mm-hmm.
not adding to it. And by doing that, we end up being happier, more money, better relationships, you know, yada, 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 yada.
There's a quote from Jim Rohn. In order for things to change, you have to change.
Yeah.
And that's part of what you're talking about also, is that, you know, if things aren't going the way you want them to go, a person could sit there and go, woe is me.
Yep.
Or, you know, I don't know how to fix the problem, which sometimes we don't, which we were talking about, clarity.
Yep.
You know, and how do you get the clarity?
I think you got to ask better questions. And I think, you know, the Bible says, seek and ye shall find. I mean, we've all heard that before.
Knock. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, knock. So you got to ask these better questions. And I do think it's a do-it-yourself job. And what I mean by that is God doesn't move unless you move. You know, I mean, we have to be, as Christians, somewhat tired of not being the most successful, most powerful that we can be. Sitting in church, singing, worshiping, praying, reading the Bible is just 1 hour out of 7 days of the week. It's just not enough.
What are you doing the rest of the time?
Yeah. Where's your code of conduct? You know, what are you doing when you get up in the morning? You know, how's your diet? How's your exercise plan? Are you watching your vocabulary? Are you reading? Are you having a conscious effort to be a better parent? I mean, come on. You know, you can't ask for something. You can't go to the fireplace and say, give me some heat, and not give it some wood first. We must move first. We must pay the price. A friend of mine once said, success is the ability to bear pain. He didn't say be a pain. He said bear pain.
I like that.
Right? And
I
so,
like that.
But most of us, you know, it's natural tendency to get something for nothing. But that's not what we're designed to do. Remember, genetically, we have to be all we can or not at all. Happiness comes from effort, from labor. Giving birth to children is the most miraculous, wonderful thing. Now, I happen to be short on experience, but I know you have kids.
Thank you. I was thinking,
right?
Yeah, okay, what do you know about that pain?
Nothing.
What do you know?
All I know is my wife went through it. We have three beautiful kids. But through that pain, comes the most amazing thing.
That is so true.
Right? This beautiful, wonderful human being.
Right. And God doesn't allow us to remember that pain. I mean, no. All those women out there that have had babies, you don't remember. You would never have a second.
Or a first, because you hear the story, you're like, I don't want to hear that. Forget it. I'm not interested. So how is God painting that? You know, how is God painting labor before the miracle happens?
Mm-hmm.
The book of activities, right? The book of Acts.
Yeah.
It's not what the disciples said. It's what they did. It's called the Book of Acts.
Right. This is the Sue Free Show, 99.5 KKLA. We're talking to Marks, and we have had a wonderful time here, and I'm so excited about it. And something I've said, which you said, but you didn't say what I say, and so I'm just going to add that to it, is that nothing happens without motion.
Correct.
I mean, nothing happens. So if somebody's sitting still, now I know that God says, like right now, I have a fractured back.
Oof.
And God is telling me right now, be still and know.
Sure.
Because I'm not one to sit. I'm not one to be still.
Right.
So God's, you know, like you said, you know, you get a little nudge and then you get a little bit bigger nudge and you get a little bigger. Well, look at, I must be really stubborn because I have a fractured back right now. And it is healing in Jesus' name. Yes. So that's an interesting thought. And I don't know. Give me another word of wisdom that you have, that you've come up with. The one that really sticks out, my golden nugget for the entire time we've been together today, is reliable. That is so good. And I'm sure you've got more of those.
It's going to change what you see things now, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's amazing how you can be in anywhere. And I always tell people, you know, when you go to a seminar or you're in church, if you take away, what's the takeaway? You know, like with my show, I'll ask my producer, I'll ask the engineer, what did you get from the show today? Because there's always this takeaway. And if there isn't a takeaway, then we've just wasted everybody's time.
Agreed.
And I don't want to waste my time. And I definitely don't want to waste anyone else's time. So I always ask that question, you know, what is it that someone's going to get from the show? You know, is it even worth doing? Yes, I believe it is. And I want there to be a takeaway. So my takeaway already today is the word reliable instead of trust and honesty and all those things that are also important.
Yep.
You made such a valid point.
Yep.
So give me some more wisdom, would you?
I'd be happy to. Okay. I know that it's wise, but, you know, I'll share my experience and then the user can or the listener can decide whether or not it's wisdom to them. I'll tell you something that's not a catchphrase or a wonderful word like reliable, but we mentioned that earlier. I think massive action solves all problems. And I think you said, you know, your back is broken. It's not always a physical action because you can read, you can talk, you can think.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, those are all activities. It's disconcerting for me to watch individuals who I think are capable, but they don't take action. And then you say, well, Lord, why would you let Bob or whomever have this wonderful success and not me? Well, God's answer is, hey, listen, the reason why he or she has that and you don't is because they've taken action on the principles I've laid out. They work independent of moral character. They work independent of whether you're good or bad. They simply work. See, the seed that you plant doesn't care who planted it. It's going to grow anyway. If we apply the principles, then we as Christians can make things happen, but we must take action. We have to stop sitting on our tushes and being a victim, as you said, or woes is me. You can't solve anything unless you move. And so, go ahead.
How'd you know I was going to talk? You heard my breath, didn't you? You heard me take a deep breath. You know, I have a very special person in my life that that has never gotten married and has just so desperately wanted to get married. And she goes to church. She's a beautiful woman. She's got a nice career. And she says, who would want me? And I'm like, wow. And I just, my heart breaks. And I'll say, come on over. Let's go on the internet. You know, let's go on one of those internet things. She goes, oh, no, I don't want to go on the internet thing. And I love this girl so much. And she's such a giver. And she's still there for other people. And she says, you know, I'm mad at God. And I said, you're mad at God? And she goes, yes, because I so badly, you know, want to have someone, you know, to love me and that I can love. And I remember, have you ever heard that story about, you know, the man that's in a flood and he's in his house and, you know, God sends him a boat.
Yep.
And the guy says, oh, no, I don't want to take the boat because, you know, I'm waiting for God to save me.
Yep, yep.
And then he sends a helicopter and the guy, no, I'm waiting for God. And then God says, you know, gosh, you know, what are you doing? He's on the roof and the water's coming up in the house. And what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for God. And he goes, well, I sent you a boat and I sent you this. And, you know, and that's kind of how I feel is like, you know, sometimes people just get so caught up into what's going on in their lives that they don't take what God's given them to move into a direction that could be positive for everyone concerned.
I would stop seeing your friend.
I can't. It's a family member.
I would say, don't talk about relationships anymore. Don't call me. I don't want to hear it because they're right. No one wants to be with someone like that. I wouldn't. You wouldn't either. See, I also think that to be a little bit, you know, tough, I also think that when we cuddle people, we're confirming their metaphor rather than saying, hey, are you kidding me? Seriously? Of course no one wants to be with you because you behave this way. Look, your true beliefs are shown by your actions, not what you say.
Uh-huh.
See, I don't. What you say, you know, it was Andrew Carnegie that said, the older I get, the less I hear what people say and the more I pay attention to what they actually do. I think your friend is right. I think your friend has a metaphor that she's not worthy, and I would let her live in that metaphor because I'm not going to put my life down for her.
Uh-huh.
Now, if she comes and says, Sue, help me, I will do whatever it takes to become the kind of woman that can attract that kind of guy. Now you can work with it. See, look, my time is, and your time is, every day we have 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
Right?
No more, no less. I wish we could get more, but...
Me too. It ain't going to happen.
I know.
So it's a matter of how we focus that energy and where we spend our time. Right? And so when people say, Mark, you know, what is money? I say, money is nothing more than time well spent.
That's good.
That's it, right? That's spend your time poorly, you don't get the money. You spend it wisely, you get the money.
Right.
That goes with everything, relationships, right? My kids are amazing. I mean, they really are amazing. Why? My wife and I spend a lot of time with them, purposefully mm-hmm. trying to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't waste my time on someone like that because my return on my time is going to be almost nothing when I could have invested my time somewhere else, in somebody else, or in something else, and get a better return. Look, the story of the talent, Sue, remember?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I know. You know, my heart just breaks.
Mine
and I hear what
too.
You're saying. I know. You know, it's like sometimes it is just like that. And we have to be an encourager, but we also have to go where we can best be used.
Yeah. Look, you tell them. You say, hey, I'm here for you, but you got to move. I can't do this for you.
Right. That's true.
If you help, I'll be the first one to run with you. But, hey, you got to take that first step. Otherwise, don't call me on this issue.
Yeah. So come on. Let's do it. We only have 1 minute.
Go.
So if you were to discuss one biblical principle that you use in the workplace, could you come up with one? I know that we use them all the time.
I think love.
Love?
Yeah, I think love is probably...
Love conquers all.
Yeah.
Okay, can you give me an example?
When you let somebody go, you do it with love. You mm-hmm. feel for them, you care for them, but you still make that tough decision.
That's very good.
When you encourage somebody, you know, you tell them what they need to work on, but you do it with love. I think how you package the message has a lot to do with it. And I think if you do it in a loving way, people forget the fact that you're correcting sin, which is an Anglo-Saxon word, which means really to miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had more time, I'd tell you how that came about. But I think love. But I don't think love is weakness. And ooh, I think love is strong.
Tough love.
Yeah.
I like the tough love thing.
Listen, you know, you'll do anything for those you love. Anything.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's been wonderful being with you. And I appreciate all your insight and input, Marks. And can you give your number one more time?
Sure. If anybody wants to reach me, they can call us at 800-365-9545, and they'll go to my voicemail, they'll leave a message, and I'll get back to them as soon as I can.
Okay, until next Saturday, have a blessed day. Make it a blessed day, and we'll see you next Saturday. Thanks so much.
Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Are raising insurance premiums making it unaffordable to offer quality benefits to your employees? Well, before you throw in the towel on providing affordable employee benefits, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services. The benefits specialist, Denon Simpson, saved her clients over $4 million in premiums last year while offering extra benefits like heart scans, stroke scans, even chair massages. Let your employees know how much you appreciate them by offering them a comprehensive benefits package that's easy to manage and affordable. Denon Simpson serves companies throughout Southern California. Clients like Make-A-Way, A American Self Storage, the Foursquare Denomination, and ministries around the world. They love an opportunity to save your company thousands too, while providing a culture of wellness and safety. If you're responsible for the health and safety of your employees, call Denon Simpson Insurance Services today at 818-676-0044. That's Denon Simpson Insurance Services for a free evaluation. 818-676-0044. Denon Simpson, the benefits specialist.
Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.